thanks for the organisers of this section for even thinking of me. Secondly, I'd like to thank Art for being so encouraging early in my career, as I'm sure he has to many other people. Thirdly, I acknowledge these are the main people that have contributed to my understanding of soil water flow and the occasional forays that I've made in the subject. So I'll start out with the standard nonlinear boundary value problem for soil water flow. Unlike previous speakers who took a complicated problem and made it easier, I'm going to take an easy problem and make it more complicated, as is usual my way. I'll convert the whole thing to an equivalent modified Stefan melting problem. That's the surprise here. That's one thing, but another thing to solve it, I can actually make some progress to solving the standard problem by using canonical coordinates for the standard Boltzmann scaling symmetry of the Stefan problem. And that, in fact, gives separation of variables. And you can start to solve the whole thing in terms of Kummer functions. Now, I'll skip those first two slides in the current audience because you all know this form of Richards equation after using volumetric water content as the dependent variable. Now, this is just the one-dimensional equation. As John Philip insisted, I use capital C for the pressure head function. And some years ago, several of us, including Warwick and Lohman and John Knight and myself and Ian White and other people from Griffith University, considered various forms of this integrable model, which is kind of fortuitous. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 free parameters there, which according to Gauss is enough to model a running elephant. this is just conductivity data for yellow light clay. With some of these parameters, we've just exactly fitted the conductivity at saturation and the conductivity at background initial water content. And for mathematical convenience at that time, White and I took zero slope there, and the rest of the points seemed to fit together without a fight, without maximising any fit with respect to any norm whatsoever. Pressure potential, pressure head looks even better. This is the moisture characteristic. And I think it's still pretty safe to say there's no analytically solvable model that can come up with a moisture characteristic that looks as good as that. That's one of the only Fortran programs that ever worked for me the first time in the 1980s, and I must say I was very pleased and tried to do my first handstand when that came out of the machine. We could solve this thing with fairly complicated looking flux boundary conditions here, which most of you are familiar with. They look kind of frightening because these coefficients, after all, are wholly nonlinear. And in this case, with some work done with John Knight and Colin Rogers, we had zero flux condition at a finite far field boundary. there's the analytic solution there, just to prove we can do that. This is kind of a circus trick to get this one correct here, so it shows the rapid increase as it hits the barrier. And that's done with an analytic solution. These more innocuous looking boundary conditions have taken me 20 extra years to solve, but we would like to do that somehow because a lot of the basic theory of soil water flow is based around this fairly simple looking nonlinear boundary value problem in one dimension with concentration boundary conditions and initial conditions. This is just the definition of cumulative infiltration. Some interesting email exchange with Art some years ago pointed out how silly I was by screwing up on the KNT term, and I'm grateful for that, but it's kind of annoying, so when I leave it out I call this thing I minus. Yeah. At this stage I'll write to S sub 0 as the sorptivity, and I'll write the other infiltration coefficients as SJs. Well known that the second coefficient is constant of order 1 times saturated conductivity. I'm going to normalise, non-dimensionalise by using a length unit. This is a capillary length unit, basically a conductivity averaged capillary rise, and this is a gravity timescale, which is how long it would take the travelling, large time travelling wave solution to travel that far. So after rescaling, you get this somewhat simpler equation where the coefficient is the same in both of these terms. I should mention I've only got this because I've simplified the so-called Broadbridge and White model by taking out one of the coefficients and setting it to zero. I have to be able to solve this problem before I can solve the harder problem, because it's not such a big step to get there, which I'll do next. Here comes the circus trick. Now, we have a linearizable equation. Equations that can be transformed to a linear equation can be transformed in many different ways. It's convenient for this problem to use this technique, which is a circus trick. You sort of pull these rabbits out of the hat, define a new dependent variable in terms of the old one, and the depth coordinate. Define a new depth variable here, and then surprise, you have no convective term left there. It's been transformed away. Now we define a new variable w such that du by dy is w, and that gives a free function of time left over. And the governing equation now in terms of u is this mess here. But remember, we can freely choose this s of t star. So we just combine these two to make them zero by choosing our s of t star in this way. And then you can see that this s of t star is just a linear function of the cumulative infiltration. This j is the flux at the surface. So now the governing equation is this one, which is just the linear diffusion equation in another guise, because if we use the depth coordinate as the dependent variable, in fluid mechanics we call this the Hodegraaff transformation, then this equation is just linear. So the boundary value problem to solve now with the linear diffusion equation is that subject to linear Robin boundary conditions. By construction, we have y equals 0 at u equals s of t star. And at the same place, at u equals s of t star, we have a prescribed gradient. So we'd like to find the free surface where we have a certain prescribed value as well as a certain prescribed derivative. And that's a free boundary problem now. My colleague Jim Hill advised me to make a linear change of variable, so the initial conditions are now zero, and then we use the fact that y is constant along that freely moving boundary in this way, and the equation for the boundary value problem for v turns out to be just the same as a Stefan melting problem with absorption of latent heat, except for this extra heat put into the system here, capital R, at a fixed rate. That's a surprise. So it looks very much like a solidification or a melting problem. So for R equals 0, we have the standard Stefan melting problem, in which case we have a similarity solution where the free boundary goes like t to the half as usual. The S dot there will be t to the minus half times constant, which is going to dominate any constant you put there. So at early times, you just get the solution for the Stefan melting problem. Now, that's the key to all this. I spoke about using a new set of coordinates. Since we have an approximate similarity solution at early time, that should be the depth variable, u over the square root of t, rather than just u. And that's one part of a set of canonical coordinates for the Boltzmann scaling symmetry. The other one is the coordinate which just transforms by a translation when you apply a rescaling, and that's basically log of t. In those two variables, you get separation of variables for the heat equation. The heat equation now looks like this. And surprise, surprise, when you separate variables, you get nothing more than a power of t times a function of depth, which comes out to become a function. So this is a classic example of one of those ugly series solutions that people were disparagingly referring to before. So what you do now, you can put a power series for V and a power series for S in terms of T to the half into the whole problem and just do standard Maclaurin expansions and then match various terms of series. And at the leading order, you get the standard solidification problem, a melting problem, except that the constant here is 2 over C rather than 1, or this C is no longer necessarily 1. Now, the real advance that I've made here is that we can get the next infiltration coefficient and we can get the next term in the series exactly. That's what I've done so far. And the next term in the infiltration series comes out to be this guy here in terms of comma functions. And this is the next term in the expansion of the solution. And in the limit as C goes to infinity, this parameter C, if C was 1.02, it means the asymptote in our model is 2% beyond the maximum concentration. It shows you it's going to be a steep nonlinear model. As C goes to infinity, we have the linear model. Ian White, who originally wrote this stuff with me 20, 30 years ago, was probably a better applied mathematician than me. He said, oh, you should remember this and keep it in your back pocket. It might come in handy, and it has. So you take that limit as C goes to infinity, that second infiltration coefficient comes out to be a half of KS, basically, which is what we already know from solving the linear model. When we go to the other extreme and take the limit as C goes to 1, the argument of the comma function now goes to infinity, and I needed to look up the asymptotic expansions of comma functions, and annoyingly they weren't in Abramowitz and Stegen beyond the first term. I had to actually do some work myself, which is strange. So I've got this one, and when you take the limit as C goes to 1 for the wholly nonlinear, model, which is Green-Ampt in character, you get 1/3 of the conductivity difference, whereas the Green-Ampt model itself, through the Meinen-Larsen calculation, gives you 2/3. KS minus KN. I thought, oh, damn, made a mistake. This really messes up our plans to conquer the universe. So my colleague, who is a very good mathematician, Jim Hill, checked out the calculation and couldn't find a mistake. It can't be a scaling calculation because we got the answer right at the C goes to infinity end. So in desperation, I did a Google with some keywords, and up came this little gem, which I didn't even know about because I departed from John Philip before he wrote this, or just before. So in his inverse method, he prescribed a form that, of a series solution for Z as a function of content, water content and time, and he prescribed simple functions for the first two in the series, and from that you can deduce the functional form of diffusivity and conductivity, except I don't like what happens with the inverse method, that you're stuck with using initial conditions at the degenerate end where your diffusivity and conductivity are zero. So you cannot adjust initial conditions with the same model. And that's why what I've done is going to be an advance on that, but at least he's going to give me a guide. If I do as he did and define coefficients of variation for the diffusivity and for K prime, he came up with a picture like this. All I've put in here is the dotted line. This is the coefficient of variation of diffusivity, and this is the coefficient of variation of K prime. And this is the coefficient that multiplies saturated conductivity in the second term of the infiltration series. Now, he says that experimental data is in this region. The model that I just showed you is this dotted line. It passes right through the guts of it, which is pleasing. The limit that I get is 0.333 at the wholly nonlinear end, and I think that puts me in pretty good shape because he says that the experimental results are between 0.3 and 0.4. I think I'm just about running out of time. That's the main result that I wanted to show you, and I could show you a bit more, but I think it's a good time to stop.